Because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This feast of purification is one of the oldest feasts of Our Lady. The Blessed Virgin took with her to Jerusalem the infant Jesus, and our Candlemas procession recalled the journey of the Holy Family ascending to the temple. When stepping into the temple on this day, Mary was without sin, and therefore she needed no purification. Nevertheless, she remained excluded from the temple for 40 days, just as if she were an ordinary sinful mother. Her humility made her wish to appear in the eyes of the world an ordinary woman. This humility and hidden life of the Holy Family should be a great lesson to us. That is the lesson also of our Lenten saint, Saint Teresa of Lisieux, whose life was simplicity itself, closed first inside the walls of her home and then in the isolation of the nunnery. Humility and hidden life are the great lessons of this holy feast of purification. How ordinary did Our Lady appear in front of the crowds, and yet she was the Lady, the Mother of our King, to whom the Church addresses these words of the Mass of the Blessed Virgin: Salve Sancta Parens, enixa puerpera Regem, qui celum terramque regit in secula seculorum. Hail, Holy Mother, thou didst bring forth the King, who ruleth heaven and earth for ever and ever. And all of us should learn much from these holy lessons of the Holy Family. In the past centuries, our minds have been continuously bombarded with the idea that if you need to get anything done, only brute force will do. To fulfill God's will in life, we have to, according to this philosophy, march in streets, hold signs, get our message in the evening news, and, of course, most importantly, vote me to be the governor, senator, or congressman. How different is this clamor from media publicity, from the message of today's feast? Joseph and Mary had indeed been taught by the angel that this child was the Son of God and the promised Redeemer. But it filled them with astonishment that God should have revealed to Simeon this secret which he had confided to them, and revealed it just at the moment when Jesus had been presented in the temple. It astonished them also that Simeon should extol their child not only as the glory of Israel, but also as the light for the revelation of the Gentiles. And it seems that we Gentiles have often lost track where our true light is. Instead of putting our trust to mass force, campaigns, and politics, shouldn't we try first turn to God? Instead of getting hundreds of thousands of people into streets, I would much more rejoice seeing those people filling the churches, to go to masses and vespers and engage themselves to be fighters of God, instead of joining themselves to support tolerance for false religions and the politicians. I would certainly want to see our little St. Gertrude, the Great Church, have a larger attendance for our Sunday Vespers, where the attendants have a chance every time to hear these great words of the Magnificat: He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seat and hath exalted the humble. For Our Lady has always a special devotion to those who are humble. To public, Saint Teresa of the Little Flower was only known and soon forgotten as the youngest daughter of a watchmaker, and in the convent, to most of the nuns, the least distinguished of her other sisters. But to Our Lady, she was dear ever since her childhood, while to the mighty ones she was invisible. And for those proud who think big about themselves in their heart, Our Lady will reserve big reproofs. I'll tell you a little story about her tenderness to the humble. This happened many centuries ago in Spain to a certain countryside priest. This priest was very humble and very devoted to the Blessed Virgin, but he was also very simple and ignorant. In fact, he was so ignorant that he didn't even know to read. So naturally, he couldn't read the texts of the Missal. But instead, he had learned by heart the Mass of Our Blessed Lady. So every morning, whether it was Christmas, Easter, or Ferial Day, he ascended the altar of his little church and started his introit, Salve Sancta Parens, enixa puerpera regem, qui celum terramque regit in secula seculorum. When the bishop got to know about this priest, he was furious, throwing aside charity and the thought that maybe the role of the good shepherd would consist of helping his lesser brethren. He attacked this priest vigorously. He said that the priest was a disgrace and embarrassment and unfit for his office, and the bishop banished him to the farthest and most remote corner of his diocese, and what's worse, forbade him to say Holy Mass. So in broken heart and tears flowing down his face, this poor priest packed his few things and left to his exile. And the bishop thought that that was the end of it. But a couple of days afterwards, he had a dream where Our Lady appeared to him in a frightening majesty. She told the bishop that instead of charity and help, he had shown cruelty and injustice to her devout servant, the country priest. And if she will be one more day deprived of the Mass in her honor, the bishop may be certain that she withdraws her intercession from him, and that her divine son will punish him severely. In horror, the bishop woke up, realizing that Our Lady had sent him a message in a dream. And as fast as he could, he recalled this country priest back to his church. And from that day forward, at the familial altar, Our Lady once again heard the pleasing words to her honor. Salve sancta parens, enixa puerpera regem, qui celum terramque regit in secula seculorum. Dear faithful, what a reminder we have in the humility of Mary. She approached the temple, offering up a personal tribute to obtain forgiveness for her sin. She, who never had even the slightest shadow of sin. Surely, if she was readily willing to approach the Jewish temple, how much more eager should we rush into the church, we who really do suffer from the stains of sin and who have something much better to attend to than the shadow rituals of the old law. We have in our church Christ, the light of our salvation. Be you also ready, like Our Lady was, to accept the burden of humility in order to bear witness to Christ. Wouldn't you be ready to arrive, at least occasionally, to our little church for Vespers, to hear those beautiful verses once sang by Our Lady herself, or to have Mass said in her honor, since she was so pleased to hear that devoted priest servant of hers saying Mass to her appraisal. Showing humility for Christ in imitation of Mary, you too become like our candles, which the light of Christ consumes to the enlightenment of others. Instead of darkness, you'll be the carrier of light. Instead of brute force, your strength lies in the intercession of Mary. Instead of flashing lights of the media, your prayers will be noted in front of the shining light of Christ. So let your hearts and mind never forget that instead of force and power, your fellow men are in need of the following of Christ, as was so strikingly written by the prophet Isaiah so many centuries ago. And I have given thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, that thou mightest open the eyes of the blind and bring forth the prisoner out of prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.